little bit of background. Elijah has finally reached Horeb, the mountain of the Lord, after 40 days of arduous travel. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tana, kupu kia tato. And our holy gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 23 to 33. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamomiti, te kororia ki te atua. Jesus walks on water, or I'd prefer to call it, Peter gets out of the boat. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus dismissed the people and sent the disciples ahead in the boat. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already some considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before the dawn, Jesus went to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost!" they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamomi iti tia ia te kupumana.
Thanks, Penny. Well, kia ora e te whanau, kia ora mai tātou. Do you know the words kia ora? You probably do, but kia means to be or let it be, you know, be kind of thing. And so you can say kia kaha, you know, be strong, you know, or kia ora. And ora, what does that mean? Yeah, wellness, life. Actually, isn't it? So be full of life, be well, be healthy, be lifey, be full of life. It's a lovely greeting, isn't it? You're saying, be well, be full of life. Kia ora. Yeah. And if you say, kia ora mai tato, that means, kia ora mai means towards me or towards, if you say tato, that's all of us, that's you and me included. All right? So kia ora mai tato means, you know, may wellness, goodness, life be with us all. Isn't that good? Kia ora mai tātou. So that's a nice way to... That's often how you, people end a little sort of intro or a speech or something. Let there be wellness, let there be life among us. It's a really good greeting for Christians, actually, isn't it? You know, obviously, but it's a good greeting for everyone. Anyway, that aside... we've got two wonderful readings this morning, and there is so much in both of them. So the first reading I'm going to not do this morning, today, but we can do it on Tuesday night at the at our winter warmer. So we'll dig into that. There is so much to say. I'm not even going to say a little bit now, because otherwise I'll start, and I'll go down that track, and you won't pull me back for a wee while. Discipline. So Tuesday night we're doing our winter warmers, and we'll be looking at a little bit of what we spoke about last week and a bit about what we spoke about this week, and you'll see how it all fits together in a minute. But, well, yeah, hopefully. but just to think, has anyone been on the crossing, the ferry crossing between the North and South Island of Aotearoa, New Zealand? Yeah. And anyone had a particularly bumpy, you know, stormy crossing? Yeah, heaps of us. You know, there's those crossings. Have you been outside in one of those really big ones? Yeah. Isn't that terrifying? You know, if you've got hair, it kind of just goes like that. And it's just like a, yeah. And the side of the boat, the ferry, is like a wind tunnel, isn't it? And you're just like going, trying to get along. You know, being blown sideways, you get blown off the ship if you're not careful. It's just crazy. Well, we hear about a wind like that in our reading this morning. So Jesus is, you know, as we've just heard. And this is, by the way, just before last week's reading, which is a wee bit later, just a couple of chapters later. So last week's reading was the Transfiguration, Jesus shining out in, you know, his uncreated light, that glory of the heavens, that glory of who he is. And then that glory sort of like reflecting through the people around him and the disciples as they fall over in amazement and all of that sort of thing. But this week, a couple of chapters earlier, we hear that he's been praying on the mountainside. The disciples have headed off after the feeding of the 5,000, and they're just going across the lake in a boat. And this lake is famous for its sudden storms, and some of us would have been to that lake. I went there once, and I had the amazing privilege of going there, and it was a peaceful day, and it's just flat, you know, the water, but a storm can come through and rip it up, and it's just going nuts, and it's like the crossing maybe between the North and South Island on a bad day. And this is what the disciples were struggling through. There was a strong wind, there was a lot of waves, and they're struggling through to the other side of the lake. It's a really big lake. It's a bit more like Taupo, Lake Taupo, than it is, you know, just some little pond or something. You know, you can hardly see the other side. And so they're going across, and Jesus finishes his prayers on the mountainside, and he thinks, I'll just pop out to see the disciples. And so he walks across the water, and you think, golly me, what's going on? Yeah, and the disciples think, oh my gosh, what the heck? That's a ghost, it's a ghost. They are absolutely shocked and terrified. There's already all this stormy wind and everything. And then Peter has, as Penny sort of, you know, gave in her subtitle for that text, he has the temerity or the courage or the, I don't know, impulsiveness or the whatever it is, he had it, and says to Jesus, all right, if it's you, Jesus, you know, call out to me. And, you know, Jesus says, okay, come. And Peter, this is nuts. I mean, Jesus is a little way off. We don't know how far, but probably, you know, they think he's a ghost. They can't see him properly. There's a lot of wind and waves. It says he's walking to pass by. He's not, like, actually going to meet them. You know, he's on his way to the other side, and they're taking their time, so he thinks, I'll just go quicker, you know. And off he goes. So they see it. Maybe he's at a distance, like, from here to the back of the church or something. And they're like, you know, come to me. And so Peter's got to walk quite a long way. So he would have actually made it across a whole lot of sea before he suddenly sees this South Island gale blowing up. And as you know, and it says he saw the wind, you know, I mean, you can't see the wind, but you know what I mean? You can see it in a way, can't you? You can see the effects, you can see the whipping, the kind of, you know, everything. And as he's walking to Jesus, because it's actually a bit of a way, you know, I always sort of think of it as two steps or something, and then he sank, but we don't know how far it was. But it was enough to be able to walk on the water for a bit, and then to notice, to be looking at Jesus, and then to notice that wind and think, oh, what am I doing? What? I am nuts. I've done that impulsive thing again. I've just, like, gone, yes, I believe in you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to do your thing. And actually look at the world around me. This is nuts. What have I done? People don't walk on water. That's not what human beings are supposed to do. The water, you're supposed to sink in the water. Oh, and in he goes. And instantly he's made it near enough to Jesus that instantly, it says immediately, Jesus took hold of him. Immediately, Jesus took hold of him. He didn't wait around and let him flounder for a bit and go, or whatever. Immediately he took hold of him and pulled him up and gets into the boat. They both go back. Maybe Peter had to walk back. Maybe Jesus carried him. But they had to get back in the boat. And they sit down. And Jesus says, you know, you of little faith, you know, why did you doubt? And then they worship Jesus. And they go, wow, truly you are the Son of God. It's just quite a little story, isn't it? And there's so much, and we've heard that story lots of times, but often we say as part of that story, you know, and it's right, it's true, you know, about fixing our eyes on Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus. And then we say as well about when our eyes go off Jesus and the worries of the world, as we heard a few weeks ago, start to choke us and all that, that Jesus immediately reaches out and takes hold of us. And all those things are true. That's all true. And it's part of our reading this morning. And it's wonderful. But there's another, even bigger truth in our reading this morning, which we don't always look at, but which is wonderful. And that is that Jesus is Lord of creation. All things were created through him. And in him, all things hold together. And God holds everything up, it says, by his word, which is Jesus. So everything's maintained in existence and held together by Jesus. Where we've bodged it, and we've bodged it badly, he's come and taken that creation on himself, taken our humanity on himself. Matter matters to God. He's taken our material existence and he's redeemed it. He's gone into death and come out into life. And he's drawing all things back into order. And so he says, at the end of this gospel that we're reading, Matthew's gospel, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And this is just him showing all authority on earth has been given to me. There's various ways he does it. You know, healings as well. You know, he says, which is it? Well, what's it? You know, son, you know, as this guy paralytic drops through the roof, your sins are forgiven. That's the words that man needed to hear. We might think he needed healing, and obviously he needed it. But actually, the thing that he really needed to hear was what was on the inside. And Jesus did that. Your sins are forgiven. And that guy would have been blissed out. But then he gets an even bigger bonus because the Pharisees go, you know, or the scribes of the Pharisees, you know, how can he forgive sins? Only God can do that. And so he says, okay, well, to show you that I've got authority on earth to forgive sins, which only God can do in heaven, I say to you, get up, take up your mat and walk. And off he goes. You know, which is easier, Jesus says, to say, you know, your sins are forgiven. It's easy to say, no one knows. You can't see inside the heart. But he says, in order that you know that I've got this authority in heaven to forgive sins, I'm going to show you something on earth because I have authority on earth as well. And they can't argue with that. Bam. And here he is walking on water. He's not doing it to show off. He's not doing it for really any other reason. It's not magic either. It's authority over heaven and earth. All authority has been given to me. So last week, we're looking at the transfiguration, right? Which is Jesus shining with that uncreated light. And we see that in Jesus, that in you and me, in human beings, matter and spirit are united. Right? Heaven and earth are united. There's the material creation, made of stuff, made of atoms, made of whatever it's made of, and we're still finding out more and more what it's made of. In fact, that big particle collider, hydron, the thingy, whatever, going round and round in CERN, I think, isn't it? They're on the verge of discovering possibly a fifth force, you know, fundamental force. So, you know, it's just we're finding out more and more all the time of what matter's made of. And it's just beautiful. It's amazing. It's incredible. Lots of scientists, as you know, are Christians. In fact, lots of scientific discoveries have come from Christians because it's amazing. Matter matters to God. And so it matters to God's people. And we discover more and more about it. And so there's matter, material, and there's God before he made, you know, he made the heavens first and then the earth, you know, in the beginning was God, you know, and God created the heavens and the earth. So we don't hear much about the heavens, but when he creates the heavens, he's creating spiritual beings, spiritual powers, and it's spirit to spirit, uncreated spirit to created spirit. But there's that kind of direct communication, and then he makes this odd stuff, which is utterly unlike him, matter. It's not spirit at all. It's just weird. What is this lumpy stuff? This slow kind of, you know, he makes it and he loves it. And then he loves it so much, he makes one creature, which is both spirit and matter. And he puts that creature, humankind, into his creation. And he says, you know, go, make something beautiful of this. Subdue it, multiply, you know, have dominion over it. That's lordship. And what does that lordship mean? Do what you like, abuse it. No. What's Jesus' lordship like? Jesus is Lord, right? What kind of lordship? He says, you know, I've actually come to serve. Yeah, not to be served. He said, look at the nations. They lord it. Yeah, they do. They lord it over one another, but not so with you. My lordship's different to the lordship of that abusive, controlling lordship. You know, the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. That's the kind of lordship that he put us on earth, you know, heaven and earth, spirit and matter meeting in us to look after this creation, to have that Jesus-shaped lordship. Perhaps put up that slide now. That all things were created through Jesus, right? And this is just, you can't draw that, all things being created through Jesus. But here's someone who had a go at it, and it's just a lovely, beautiful, colourful kind of expression of the truth that all things were made through Christ, and in him all things hold together, that Jesus was there at the creation of the world, and there he is, kind of in the garden, sort of making things appear and, you know, being a bit of a gardener, I suppose. Yeah. I'm obviously failing in my becoming like Jesus because I'm not much of a gardener. He was a carpenter too, wasn't he? He made stuff from that garden. He didn't just grow things. That's another story. Anyway. And we make stuff. But this lordship, so we saw, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And last week we saw that sort of heavenly authority, if you like, the spiritual authority, as he shone, with his face like that. And we looked at the fact that others shone with that glory. Human beings, you and me, because Jesus is fully human as well as fully God. So Stephen's face, as he's being stoned, shines like an angel. Our faces are supposed to shine as Jesus' face shone, because he's the full human being. He's fully human, fully God. He's united. He's done what we failed to do as human beings. We were put there to be lords in the way that Jesus is Lord of creation, to be the ones that unite heaven and earth, that spirit and matter are joined together in, to have that authority. He gave us authority over all the living things and everything. To do what with it? To see it fulfill all the glorious, beautiful purpose that God has for it. We're the caretakers. Kaitiaki of creation. We're the ones that look after it and that draw out of it all its goodness and beauty and bring it to the Lord. So matter matters to God. It matters so much. I know this is a bit conceptual, but I hope you don't mind, and I'll try and make it sort of ground it in our week ahead in a minute. But to get you kind of need the big picture in order to know where you're going, you know, like on a map. You need the big map, and then you can see, okay, now I get where everything is, and that's where I am, and I want to go there. So I do it like that, you know. So sometimes, this is a sort of big picture thing, and I hope you don't mind. You just have to forgive me. But matter matters to God. There he is, in charge of it, walking on water. And Peter walks on water too. It's nuts. A non-God human being, you know, but a human being who is spirit and matter has authority over matter, not just spirit. You know, yes, the disciples cast out demons, have that sort of spiritual authority. But here he's got authority over matter as well. But it's, you know, it's like Stephen, where his face shines. You know, there's that spiritual thing that you and I have, that we share with Jesus as a human being. We are spirit. We are also matter. We are material. We are part of this creation. We're in it and of it. We're made of it. And we're supposed to be bringing it to the glory of God. And so Peter walks on water. Does that make sense? It's amazing, isn't it? That we get to share in that. It's not magic. So that's the only other thing I really want to underline about this. It's not sort of Superman. Superhuman powers. This is not the Marvel universe. It's not kind of, you know, Thor thundering along and going, hey, look at me, or Iron Man. Well, I suppose he's doing it through human means, but, you know, this isn't some kind of But isn't it interesting that the disciples in the book of Acts were taken for gods? They were mistaken for gods a number of times. How, you know, they were doing things they had, that made people think, oh, you're some kind of Superman, you're some kind of God, you're some kind of, you know, like Thor thundering along. But you're from the Marvel Universe. But it's not that kind of magic. It's not that kind of thing. Because do you remember that story about Simon? He's called Simon Magus sometimes. But Simon the magician in the book of Acts. So Philip is one of the disciples, is going around preaching, and he gets joined by more disciples. They go around, they're performing miracles, and this guy lived there for ages, for years. This guy, Simon, he lived in that area for years, and everyone was astounded by him because he did magic, and he did all sorts of magic. I don't know what, but, you know, he probably healed people. He did, you know, tricks, whatever. He could do magic. Maybe he walked on water. I don't know. He did magic. And it was so impressive, people called him, what was it? Not the Holy One of God, but the Great One of God or something like that. And then along come these disciples, and it's something else. It's not magic. It's just a natural authority that human beings are supposed to have to bring peace, order, righteousness, justice, joy, all that goodness. And so where something's out of kilter, they're putting it right. They're healing people. They're praying that people will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and shine with God's glory and come to all the fruition of everything they were created to be, that you and I were created to be. So they're doing all of this. And Simon becomes a Christian, actually. He gets baptized, and it says he believes. But something in him of that magic, because magic is about control. And something of that creeps back in, and he says, I want that authority. I want to lay hands on, like you apostles are doing, and see people be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I will pay you money for you to give me this authority. He says that to them. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's so bad. You know, and they don't even, you know, he's just got the wrong end of the stick in a huge way. He wants control. He wants to own that authority, to pay for it. Now it's mine. I get to use it. And you can't use God. We can't use God. It's not like that with God. And the disciples say, whoa. They really put the brakes on him and say, you've really got into trouble here. You need to repent because you're in big trouble. That's not the way to look at God or the Holy Spirit or what we're doing. It's not magic. You've been doing magic, which is all about control. I have the power. I can do this. And we're not doing magic. All we're doing is cooperating with God in God's world. We're being who, and we can only do this because of what Jesus did in redeeming us and being filled with the Holy Spirit. All we're doing is walking around looking at how we can bring things into order, into God's order again. And where there's sickness, where there's trouble, where there's people who need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that they can live that life of goodness, of grace, of justice, of joy. That's all we're doing, is we're praying for people. We're cooperating with God. We're being who God asked us to be, which is that union of spirit and matter, of heaven and earth, of bringing order into God's world, of redeeming, bringing back to God. That's why at the end of this story, I think, the walking on water, you know, we see that he's got authority over matter as well. You know, but they get into the boat they come back together and they worship Jesus. And it's just a little mini image, really, of what our job is to bring all of creation, all people and all of creation to Jesus. Does that make sense? That's our job, to bring everyone, all and all of creation, not just everyone, but everything, to Jesus in worship to him. So thinking this week, perhaps, if you're there's people that you're going to meet, maybe just think of who you're going to meet this week. There's things you're going to do. Some things might be creative things. Some things will just be mundane, ordinary things. You might have to prepare food. Maybe you'll have to go out in the garden, do a bit of gardening. All of these things are Christian activities. All of these things are godly activities. All of these things are activities for you and I as priests of creation, as those who join heaven and earth, join spirit and matter. They're activities for us to do where God is present. One of the writers of a famous book called Practicing the Presence of God, he was just a bloke who peeled potatoes in the kitchen. That was his job. And people flocked to him from all around to see what it was about this guy who peeled potatoes in the kitchen. And it was just simply that he knew God was with him. And it was so transformative, something so mundane as peeling potatoes you can do with God. In the garden, you can do that with God. Talking to people, you can do that with God. And we're bringing heaven and earth together. And we're bringing beauty. We're not doing magic. We're not controlling. We're not about that. We're about bringing order and beauty, justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I wanted to say something about priesthood, but we've run out of time. But just simply, you know anyway that priests in the Old Testament were those who went into God and then came out to the people, right? They went into God, worship, and in fact they took offerings from creation. So they brought creation and the people into God's presence. And then they came out and they taught people from God, and they gave words to people from God. You know, sometimes they prophesied from God. But so it's a bringing together of God and people, of God and all of creation, in fact. It's a bringing together of heaven and earth, of spirit and matter. That's what priests do. No wonder you and I are called priests. We are a kingdom of priests. In fact, the whole of Israel was called a kingdom and priests in Exodus. And then in the New Testament, Peter quotes that Old Testament reference and says, you're a kingdom of priests. And it comes again in Revelation. Twice in Revelation, we are a kingdom and priests. So we're those, you and me, bring creation and all that's in it and all the people to God and God to creation. We unite spirit and matter. We unite heaven and earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, says Jesus. Therefore, go in my name and go in me. We are the body of Christ, right? It's huge, isn't it? Sorry, but this is big. And and I just think, the more that we see this, the more we'll live it naturally. And only God can help us to see it. And he does. So, there you go, priests of all creation. So when we gather now, we're not just at a club. This isn't a rugby club. Rugby clubs are awesome, by the way. It's not the Lions or whatever, those things are all good, but people just sort of come because they want to be a member and blah, 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 and then they go home. And, they're good things and you get some stuff done. But we gather together, not as a club, but as a body, the body of Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And we gather together as the people of God. And we gather to bring ourselves, and along with us, so you're bringing your week Think of the week you've just had. You're bringing that. Think of the people that are on your heart. You're bringing them. Think of the things that you're doing during the week ahead, the things you will be doing, the people you will be meeting, the tasks you'll be performing. You're bringing all of that. We are bringing all of this, and we're coming to God, as it were. Not that God's here, right? You know, he's everywhere. But it's nice to, being human beings, matter matters. It's nice to have some movement and some space and to use our bodies, which God gave us. We're not just spirit. We are spirit and matter. So, you know, having a bit of movement, coming to the front, you know, this idea is just actually, we're doing something Jesus taught us to do, which is gathering together and saying, do this in remembrance of me. We're doing this in remembrance of him. We're saying, Jesus' words, this is my body, this is my blood. And do you know the amazing thing about that is we're bringing bread and wine. And we're bringing that in, and sometimes we literally bring it in, and we're putting bread and wine, bits of creation, matter. Matter matters, right? And we're asking God to bless it because Jesus did that. Jesus took bread and wine. And when he took bread and wine, he gave it to his disciples and he said, this, take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood, which is given for you. And the disciples are sitting there eating this bread and then drinking this wine, going, this is Jesus' body and blood. He just said, this is his body, this is his blood. And they are consuming with their bodies, with materiality, with matter. They're eating and drinking, doing normal activities, eating and drinking. And Jesus is saying, that's me. I am giving myself to you. Doesn't matter how the mechanics of this thing works. What we know is Jesus is saying, I don't just communicate through words. I communicate through matter as well. And I give myself to you, not just in words, but I give myself to you in matter as well. Because you are matter as well as spirit. Isn't it wonderful? You matter to God, and your matter matters to God. I matter to him. Last thing, sorry, is when we bring bread and wine, we're not just bringing, we're bringing creation into God's presence, aren't we? And we're asking God to bless creation, and God, Jesus, is blessing creation and giving himself to us, back to us, through his creation. Isn't that lovely? And it's representative of the fact that we bring all of creation to God in prayer. And so when we go out into our work and you think about those practical things you'll be doing and working with this week, you are taking what God has blessed. You're bringing all of those things to God now, asking him to bless them, and we're taking them out into the world, and we're asking God to bless them. Does that make sense? And last thing. I said we're bringing creation, but do we bring wheat and grapes? Because that's what we actually... Yeah, what has to happen to the wheat and grapes? We have to make something of it, don't we? Who does that? Yeah, well, us. You know, not literally us, although sometimes it is us. We make bread. And we make wine. That's work. That's people's work, isn't it? It's their jobs. They get paid to do it. So we're bringing our work as well. We're bringing creation and we're bringing our work. And we're asking God to inhabit it, to bless it, to redeem, to transform it into his gift to the world. So we come to him in worship, and then we are priests, you and I, priests of creation. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for this incredibly high calling that you've placed on us as human beings. And we thank you so much that even when we fail to be who you put us on this earth to be, into this creation, into this universe to be, you redeemed us by becoming one of us and doing the proper human thing, doing the perfect human thing. And thank you again that you didn't just leave it at that, but that you poured out your Spirit on us so that we could become more and more like Jesus, the proper human being, the second Adam. And we pray that you'd do that, that you'd make us more and more and more like him. And that as we come to you now and as we go out into the world again, and as we keep doing that movement of coming to you, going out, walking on water, coming back to you, going out, walking on water, coming back and worshipping you, we pray that we would be taking all of creation, all of our work, everything, all the people we meet and interact with, bringing them all before you, and that you would be transforming us and all these things in prayer by your Spirit and giving us and all these things back to the world. Help us to live for you, Jesus, to be part of that bringing heaven and earth together and bringing all things under your feet and your wonderful lordship, which is peace, justice, joy, in the Holy Spirit, in your name.